The original plan called for us to pay a visit to Kissimmee, Florida, down in Osceola County. And the mere fact that I have pronounced both of those names properly tells you that I've ridden through there a time or two. Indeed, I have. I go back to my childhood when we used to drive up from Miami to Disney World. The exit off of the Florida Turnpike coming northbound was, as we used to call it back then, Kissimmee. Of course, everybody did. Kissimmee was the exit. We would navigate Highway 192, which was a very different entity back then. I'm talking mid-late 70s than it is certainly now. That was the way you cut across St. Cloud. Well, not really St. Cloud, but Kissimmee. And in through Osceola County, a major way to I-4, which was the entrance to Disney World. We would always stay at the Hyatt House there. For those of you who remember, there was a Hyatt House compound, Hyatt Hotel, at the gateway to 192 and the entrance to Disney and I-4, which back then was almost literally in the middle of nowhere. And I laugh about that because of how many memories I have of us riding up 192. Well, later on, I moved to Central Florida, matriculated at the University of Central Florida, and have some ties to the Orlando area, and as such, watched it grow. Was there for a number of years, met my wife there in Orlando. We got married in Orlando. And so I spent a lot of time in and around Orlando, and I watched not only Central Florida as a whole grow, worked in television there for a number of years, but I also watched the Puerto Rican population grow there in Central Florida. And that was kind of the motivator to start this road trip in Kissimmee. My mom was Puerto Rican. I love Puerto Rican food. I enjoy Puerto Rican culture very, very much. My dad was Cuban, so I've got a little bit of both influences, if you will. I had them growing up. But I wanted to see. It had been easily over a decade since I had driven that corridor of 192 through Kissimmee, and what I know has become of the Puerto Rican population there. The Puerto Rican population, not only in Kissimmee but in Central Florida, is massive. I think I read the other day that Florida, the state of Florida, now has a higher Puerto Rican population than anywhere else outside of the island of Puerto Rico. Yes, even more than New York. The state of Florida versus the state of New York. If you want to get into cities, New York City still has over 500,000 Puerto Rican people there, so it still remains the number one spot. But I hope that kind of draws the picture that, you know, Central Florida has become, and not overnight, I've been watching it happen since I lived there in the mid-90s, it has become a not a hub, but a big, highly influenced, I should say, part of Central Florida is the Puerto Rican population, which brings, you know, cultural stuff and the food and all of those things. And so that said, I hadn't been to Central Florida to 192 in Kissimmee in quite some time. And so I wanted to see it. And so when my wife came up with this idea for this road trip through the central part of the state of Florida, central defined as away from the beaches, well, then I thought, you know what? I'm going to go take a look at what has become of Kissimmee and 192 and all of the Puerto Rican influence that I've been hearing about for many, many years now, to see what it has become. And yeah, I did a lot of research, and we were going to go to Kissimmee, but the issue we ran into, for those of you who are familiar with Central Florida, is that it's so spread out. And we were going to drive all the way to Kissimmee, coming from the north, through down I-4, all the way through Central Orlando and downtown Orlando, and getting all the way down John Young Parkway and all of that, just to get down to Kissimmee, essentially for lunch, and then turn around and go back, because we were spending the night, that first night of this road trip, in either DeLand, which is back up north, or in Daytona Beach. So we'd have been driving right past those to go all the way down, probably an hour, if not a little more with traffic, to Kissimmee just for lunch, and then turn around and come back. So it was at that point that I thought, after doing all of this research, I'm not feeling that. I'm not going to go down all the way down to Kissimmee. I want to go when I can spend some more time and see it and enjoy it a little bit more, perhaps headed south at some point in the future, which I knew I would be. Well, that said, you know, I was kind of bummed that I wouldn't be getting any Puerto Rican food until I got tipped off about this place in Orange City, Florida, which is right off the interstate. And it's right near DeLand and right by where we were going to be driving, right off of I-4. If you're driving from, let's say, Daytona Beach into Orlando, is a very popular Puerto Rican spot called Lilo's. Lilo's Barbecue, and I don't understand why they call it Lilo's Barbecue. I don't know. Didn't spend a whole lot of time trying to figure that out. But Lilo's Barbecue is technically in Orange City, Florida. But when I tell you it is not 100 yards off of the interstate, I-4, it is, if you get off the interstate and turn right, it is probably 35 seconds. It is right off the interstate. And it is everything that I had hoped for when we were originally planning to go down to Kissimmee. So we made our way down to Lilo's. We stopped there for lunch. And as soon as I walked in, the first thing that I can tell you is that it smelled like my grandmother's kitchen. And I'm not just saying that. It smelled like my grandmother's kitchen. It was big, lots of seating, cafeteria style, which I'm very much accustomed to from my childhood in Miami. You know, it's a big buffet line. It's not a buffet. You go and you tell them, I'd like some of this, I'd like some of that. But then they have a menu up above where you can order, you know, different kind of combination platters, if you will. The rice and the beans, the red beans, the black beans, the braised pork or the roasted pork. They had roasted chicken, kind of a rotisserie, if you will. They had all kinds of stuff, but they had individual, like I said, combination platters, which ran $14, $15 the time we were there. So we knew that there would be a lot of food, and it was just the two of us, me and my wife, and I thought, you know what? We should order one of these big family serving things, probably have some leftovers that we can eat later, but you know, financially it would come out to be a little bit less. I think the combination platters were $15 to $17, and this combination that would feed probably three or four people was at about $30, so we'd save a few bucks. And so, okay, got to pick, you know, your proteins. We got the pork and the red beans and the rice and the arroz con gandules and all of that stuff. And it came in big to-go containers. And when I tell you big to-go containers, they were huge. There was enough food there to feed four or five people, obviously, depending on how hungry you are. But we took a lot of it with us. There was a lot of to-go that we planned on having. We knew that there would be. And we said, okay, well, we're in a hotel and we were looking to nosh on something, we might have some pork or rice or beans or whatever. And so we got the to-go. It was delicious. The food was wonderful. The best I've ever had? No, I don't know that I would say that, but it was very, very good. And considering the convenience that it was right off the interstate from where we were going, it was a hit. I very much look forward to going back there. Very, very good food there at Lilo's Barbecue. And I still don't understand why they call it barbecue, but I think that might have something to do with trying to attract the demos there in Central Florida, but I digress. We left Lilo's Barbecue and we were looking to kill some time before we met a friend in DeLand that evening to visit with some old friends. So we made our way down to DeBary. DeBary, Florida is not 20 minutes from Orange City and DeLand. It's right down the road. It's the in between DeLand and Orlando. Growing up quite nicely from my time when I lived in Central Florida, we went and we didn't visit. We drove by a historic site, huge, huge historic mansion called DeBary Hall, built in 1871 by a really rich guy. Look him up, who built a little retreat for his daughter who had asthma. After he built it, presidents went to visit there. It was a stunning Florida retreat back in the day, and it's beautiful. We saw it from the outside, said, oh, that's cool. Maybe one day when it's not 110 degrees outside, we'll actually come and enjoy walking the grounds and see that at some future point. Well, as we made our way back to DeLand, we had some time to kill, and I'm driving very literally up Highway 17, which is the main artery that runs from Orlando through Sanford, Lake Mary, into DeBary, and then all the way up into DeLand, and then beyond that, it goes further north. It is the main artery. We're driving up Highway 17 from DeBary back up to DeLand, where we were going to meet Georgia. Her name is Georgia. I'll tell you more about her in the next episode. But we were driving, and I see a sign, just randomly see a sign off to the side, world famous Dale's Ales. Now you put world famous out there and you got my attention. So I immediately said, oh, what's that? Didn't dive off the road, did not cause a traffic hazard or any kind of ruckus, but I did make a U-turn. What is that? Turned around and went back to Dale's Ales, and it was clearly a biker bar, in the sense that during Bike Week, which is very popular in this area in the month of February and in the spring, they get going pretty good here. It was clearly set up for the biker crowd. I think there's even a campground there, but it's this this pub bar, if you will, dive bar looking place right up off the Highway 17, 50 feet off the highway. where we thought, okay, we can cool our jets here and have a beer. Walked in there, the food, you know, bar food, wings, burgers, all that. It smelled amazing in there, but we were just looking for a cool scene, beer or two, and then make our way back up to DeLand to see Georgia. And we found that the people were nice. The bartender was great. We had a really, really lovely visit at Dale's Ales, not knowing for any reason why it's world famous, but they say it is. Like I said, I bet it gets going pretty good during a bike week. But Dale's Ales was a keeper. We really very much enjoyed Dale's Ales and would go back. Absolutely, I'd go back. I'd even go back when all the bikers are there. Bikers are misunderstood much more so than not. Good people and just looking to do their thing and flex their muscle with their hobby a little bit. But very, very good people there at, during bike week in the whole area as a whole. So we made it through Lilo's Barbecue. We drove through DeBerry and all of that and stopped at Dale's Ales and then made our way up to DeLand. DeLand I have a history with, a short-ish history with, which is a lot of fun. There's a lot of good food there, and I'm looking forward to telling you about it. However, to hear that, you're going to have to wait till the next episode. There's a lot to share, and I will when you join us for episode 2, this Diary of a Road Trip. Thanks for joining us. You can find more right now at eatitflorida.com. Follow us, Apple, Spotify, and A Partridge in a Pear Tree, and we'll see you next time.